WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash any man, Sir Rockin.
It's WrestleMania week. We're less than 48 hours away from the Grand Damn All, the biggest show of shows of 2025. The two-night stupendous spectacular known as WrestleMania. And we're going to talk all 13 matches that, unlike other shows, it's going to be spread out over two nights and not one five-hour show. Lots of room to breathe and to talk about things and watch things and experience things. And it's probably going to end up being 14 matches. But we're talking about 13 of them because one is still unofficial.
They're working on it.
It's up in the air. He's going to have his gear. But we're going to talk about it. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Show, and we're coming to WildTalkRadio.com, RecordRadio.com, or twitch.tv/WTLive. Thanks, Matt, for 69 months. Nice. Yeah. So let's talk about things. Because there's a story that dropped. There's a piece of news that dropped today, yesterday, kind of. that we need to talk about first.
That's right. We have one bit of news before we jump into the show. And that is that after much praying and wishing and hoping, my personal wish for Fortnite, one of them, has finally been fulfilled. I can at last run around the Fortnite map chasing people down as the Undertaker. Cuddy's there too. But I get to run around as the Undertaker. In Fortnite, y'all. That's right. Tomorrow, in your item shop, use creator code ROCKANDSOCK and Lindsay Ward in those shops, hashtag Epic Partners. You can get the pack with The Undertaker and Cody Rhodes. They have backlings. They have pickaxes. They have emotes. They all look sick. Taker looks wonderful. They did give up on the neck tat, though. They're like, nah, we're not doing that. Nah,
not doing that one. Not going to try to put the ex-wife's name on there and then scratch it out and make some shapes. I found that hilarious. But no, as you said it, it's The Undertaker and Cody Rhodes. It's like he was like the afterthought in this whole like promotion for it. So Fortnite put out a trailer. It's on their YouTube, it's on their Twitter. And it's like this they're in a ring. Which one? Awesome that they did something for a teaser video that's outside of like the Fortnite like universe. Like they built They animated like a wrestling ring and everything like that. So it's like they put some money behind it. Which you figure because they've been promoting Fortnite OG on Royal Rumble and Chamber and like it was on the Netflix Raw. So they've been promoting Fortnite on WWE content. So you knew something was coming for WrestleMania. So they built the whole thing and it's all about The Undertaker. He's beating up the fish sticks. And
is it? Go ahead.
But and then it's like the whole trailer happens and there's the tombstone and all this stuff and they beat him up and Undertaker stands tall. And then there's also and Cody Rhodes at the end of the trailer. It's like there was like no showcase of Cody, and like the Undertaker has a skin and it has six different variants. It has, I think, jacket on, jacket off, hat on or hat off or something like that, or gear on or whatever. And eyes rolling back were normal eyes. So six different variations on the Undertaker. And then there's Cody with one basic white boy version.
I mean, look, we all know who everybody's here to see.
It's the Undertaker.
But it's the Undertaker, right?
Yes, but they did, Cody looks really good. Taker looks really good. They have an urn emo for the Undertaker. They have the woe without the woe, but has the pyro, and it's an instrumental version of the song you just heard as we came in. So
because Cody owns the rights to the song, right?
He does, but that doesn't mean he can freely license it to like Fortnite. But like Fortnite has the song, has his Sabrina Carpenter songs in their game.
I'm sure they worked it all out to get the instrumental.
Yeah. No,
but they may not have wanted the lyrics because reasons.
But the emote's called whoa, like you know the bit with the pyro. But there's no actual whoa, and it works, but you could have paid for the whoa part, and it would have been
all the money went into the six Undertaker pair.
it really did, but yeah, it comes out tomorrow. It's 2,800 V-Bucks if you buy the combo pack of both characters. They're 1,500 a piece, and then there's the emotes. Cody got a gun wrap, so that's cool. So like they gave Cody stuff. They gave him the emo, they gave him the rap, so that's his extra little bit. Undertaker did not get a rap. Undertaker has a shovel as a pickaxe. So they did a good job.
I'm just gonna say it. There was a missed opportunity to do a scythe. They could have done a scythe. I mean, you can use one in game if you have it. It's not gonna stop you. But when I saw the shovel, I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Well, he's digging holes and taking souls, so shovel works.
Shovel works, yeah, shovel works. But is it wrong that, like, when I was watching the trailer for it, that my brain, because it's the two fish sticks, right?
Yeah.
And all I could think of was Teddy Long, which I'm going to put, you know, let me holler at you for a second. I'm going to put you in a tag team match, or you're going to go one-on-one with the Undertaker. That's all I could think of. Popped in my brain.
Yeah. Also, everyone's like, oh my god, they redid the bit from the Boneyard match where the Undertaker appeared behind Fishstick. Like, he appeared behind AJ. So
he did that to everybody.
I know, but that's where everyone's mind went to for it. But yeah, they're in the item shop tomorrow at Shop Reset, so that's 8 p.m. Eastern. Check your local times for availability, but they should be in the shop through the weekend, if not a little bit longer. So buy Undertaker, Cody Rhodes, etc. We got WrestleMania to get to. We got 13 matches to dive deep into.
Before we do that, Epic Games, I have a request. of you. You have given me the Undertaker. I am grateful. Boo boo next. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna get that one.
Dude, the Fiend? Get the Fiend in Fortnite? That'd be fucking sick.
It would. Anyway, let's talk about WrestleMania. We got two nights to get into.
We do. We have a stacked card for everybody.
Okay, so... Cody? Cody's their big money cow. So, no. So every time we go to this Wikipedia page, the card order is different. So, like, Brent complained on Sunday, hey, you're reading a different card. Well, guess what? We're reading it differently this time. So when Brent recaps this, it's going to be a different order again, Brent.
Sorry.
They changed it.
So we're both on Wiki.
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're looking at the same thing.
We
coordinated without coordinating.
Yes. I open up Wikipedia, which is what I've been using every time we've done this. This is the third go around, so let's get into it.
All right, so we are going to start with night one, which is Saturday night, April 19th, in case you were curious and didn't know. And this is an absolutely stacked card from top to bottom. I'm just going to run them down really quickly as my voice decides not to cooperate. We have Gunther taking on Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. The War Raiders take on the New Day for the tag titles. You have Rey versus El Grande Americano, Jade versus Naomi, LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu, Tiffany versus Charlotte for the Women's Championship, and Roman versus Punk with Heyman versus Seth Rollins in a triple threat grudge match. Where in that do you want to start?
So, I'm going to throw out theory scenario number one of what I've cooked up for WrestleMania.
He has a plan, chat.
I have an idea. So it's not going to happen because they're marketing it completely different. But I had this theory about 10 days ago, or actually a little bit longer than that, about 2 weeks. When they came down and did the contract signing, and everyone made a big deal of it, where CM Punk is in the main event of WrestleMania. That's the premise of the match. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins will main event night one of WrestleMania. And then, before the last week or so, Seth Rollins has kind of changed his tune a little bit. But I had a theory of how you kind of let Seth Rollins screw CM Punk one final time and not actually give him the main event of WrestleMania. You have Seth Rollins open the show and basically demand that the match happens right then and right there to start the show, and basically screw CM Punk out of what he really, really wanted was the main event of WrestleMania. And you could, in theory, do that. They're not going to. But I would have loved to see them just start the show, because everyone's predicting this was the main event. They marketed it as the main event. But the show, throw everyone for a loop. You open with it. It would cause chaos. It would cause unpredictability. It can't happen, because with the way WWE does things, there's a lot of production that they have set up in terms of, hey, CM Punk is basically going to get a musical guest, so that kind of throws it out. And they kind of drop those. Seth Rollins' in-story came to closure with the fact that it's becoming the main event. But, you know, his one last favorite to Paul Heyman was pull some strings. Start the match first. Could be a thing. But yeah.
I feel like if they're going to do that, they don't do it the night of the show. They do it on SmackDown tomorrow, where they have Seth go to Heyman like last minute and say, by the way, my favor is I want to go on first. The only reason I do that is because from the logistical stuff, like you mentioned, if you're going to pull that shit, that's the time to do it. Because then it's, well, now Heyman's under the gun to make it happen or not make it happen, right? Because now it falls on Heyman of, does he give Seth his magical favor, right? That Heyman supposedly owes him for not getting beat up. Or does he screw Punk? And that can be the story that they can tell the whole goddamn day leading up to the show, right? Of what is Paul Heyman gonna do? What is he gonna do? Are they going on first? Are they not going on first? Nobody will know leading up into the show.
I mean, you could do it that way. But yeah, they kind of dropped that part after Seth Rollins kind of came to terms with it. But it was like, it was the thought that came to my head. It was like, that'd be an unpredictable way to start the show.
It'd be a great way to start the show. If live musical guests were not involved, I would be all for it.
Yeah, when they got 99% confirmed that In Living Color was performing for CM Punk, was in town performing tonight, I think, or tomorrow. I think, maybe. And then everyone's like, yeah, they can't really, like, change the order. But yeah, so it's Raw. So the main event of the show, and then we'll work our way around the card so Brent can continue to be scrambling and trying to piece this whole thing together. Roman, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins, they basically said that, you know, we're holding the future of the story, the business, and with the outcome. Many people believe that Paul Heyman is going to walk out of WrestleMania with Seth Rollins. I don't know about that. I also don't know if the whole thing between Roman and Heyman on Monday was just a plan to eventually screw over CM Punk. Like, Roman Reigns is masterminding this entire thing, and Paul Heyman, and they're just sort of screwing over CM Punk in a way. I don't think they are, but that's a theory.
It is a theory.
It would be a big deal for CM Punk to win this match.
Be huge.
Because if it is indeed the main event, him closing out the show victorious, it would be the dream fulfilled and kind of go from there. Roman losing last year at WrestleMania kind of set the tone for, okay, it's time for him to pay back some losses. And he's done that a little bit this year, but he's also gotten a couple wins under his belt as well. If the plan is to kind of rebuild the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, in terms of being a top contender, a win at WrestleMania over Punk and Rollins would set him back on the course of getting his ship back together and being a challenger for the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship at some point, whichever he desires. Paul Heyman might be walking out by himself. No, he's too valuable to have him walk out on his own, because he's too good with Punk or with Roman to not have him on television. And the Roman-Paul dynamic still works, especially for when Roman's not there. To me, I think Punk goes over, and I think ultimately this builds to Roman Punk in a singles. Wouldn't say at Backlash 3 weeks later. I mean, I guess you could. But you could build it to something in June or July to kind of settle that match, possibly. Because they haven't announced anything past. We have SummerSlam early August, but in June and July have not kind of formally been put out there yet. Because there's a Saturday Night's main event at the end of May. There's Backlash, I think, the 10th of May. So there's a lot going on, but June is still not there. I think that might be Money in the Bank. I think that's kind of what they're settling on for June. So you could do the match there and keep both men out of Money in the Bank. I don't know. Before I make the pick, what are your thoughts?
This is a tough one to choose. It could be Heyman and Punk, yeah, playing everybody. Could be Roman and Punk playing everybody, but I had this, or Roman and Heyman, sorry, playing everyone, but I had this wild idea.
Mm-hmm.
What if CM Punk is the thing that brings Roman and Seth back together? Like, they're just sheer hatred for the man. What if that's what, like, brings them back together, even if only temporarily? Like, that they just get back on that same page for just, like, a split second or, like, a night.
It seemed that way on Monday, and then it kind of quickly fell apart.
It totally fell apart.
Hold on.
Game Kittens just subscribed for 26 months. Oh, hey. What's this button, Yiwoo? You're reigning, defending, Yiwoo champion.
Hi, Brent.
Hi, Brent. Thank you for 26 months. Anyway, continue on.
Like, it just, I just, it's not going to happen, but I had that thought that I was like, what if this is what's, like, after what, 10 years of bullshit for the Shield breaking up and Roman and Seth just hating each other and Dean leaving and the wars and everything they've been through, right? That, like, the one thing that unifies Roman and Seth is not forgiveness, but just the sheer hatred of CM Punk. And Paul Heyman's like, yes, yes, do it, do it, do it. Like, the whole time. Like, yes, I can get behind this. But in seriousness, I think the situation with Heyman, obviously, is the story. It's what's making this the most interesting, because it's, what is Paul Heyman going to do? As I said before, it's the choice. Heyman, as a character, has always latched onto power, titles, money, places that he feels he can worm his way in and he can get influence and he can hold influence, right? And if it's not an act with Roman, he doesn't really have that influence over Roman anymore. You guys made this point on Sunday that he's kind of become his own man. He's become his own character. He doesn't really need Paul Heyman too much as a crutch on the mic. He's great for Roman when Roman's not there. And that would be my question, is how much is Roman going to be around after WrestleMania?
But when Roman's there, he doesn't really need Heyman. And that's true of the other two as well. Seth doesn't really need Heyman. Could they do business together? Yes, absolutely. It would be money. Punk doesn't really need Heyman. But again, could they do business? It would be money. Yes. Like, Heyman could go with anybody in these groups. I would kind of almost like to see Heyman walk away. And I would love to see Heyman, like, show up. Because I think it's on night two. Is it on? Yeah, it's on night two. Where he shows up for, like, Braun Breaker. And he kind of sees somebody on the rise. Sort of like he did with Brock. Sort of like he did with Roman. And he sees the young Braun Breaker. And he looks at him and he goes, I can do something with that. And he latches himself onto like a Braun, and he helps to build Braun on that rise to that next level as they begin to prep him to go into the main event. That's what I would like to see Heyman do, that either he does walk away alone or he himself of his own accord is like, look, I can't do this morally, legally, emotionally, physically, all the Lees, he can't do it. He can't pick between the three, or the two, really, because it's Roman and Seth. It's Roman and Punk. So he's not going to. He's going to walk away. And Roman's like, if you walk away, we're done. And he's like, okay. And Punk's like, all right, bye. And Seth's like, whatever. Yeah, he just washes his hand of the situation. Or they wash their hands of them. All three men in the match, they're like, yeah, no, we're done. All of us are done with you. And they walk away. And it's what happens to Paul Heyman next? Where does he go? That's kind of what I would like to see have happen to Heyman. Because like I said, we don't know Roman's status. We don't know how much longer he's going to be around. Because especially with comments he's made this week, it seems like he's not going to be wrestling full time that much anymore. He's going into that special attraction category. So you don't really need to have Paul Heyman stick around strictly for Roman. He did it for Brock. He could do it for Roman. It's not a problem. But I think Paul Heyman could be better used elsewhere and go with like a Braun Breaker, or what would be interesting is like a Damian Priest or Drew McIntyre, you know, somebody like that, somebody that could just use a little extra oomph, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I also think that everyone says him and Braun Breaker would work. I don't think on screen the pairing works. I think if Braun Breaker was a different type of heel, it would work with Heyman. But with the character they're portraying Braun Breaker as right now, Heyman, the character, does not work. Because the dog barks and everything like that, you can tell the presence of the two wouldn't balance as it should. But you can see the influence of Paul Heyman on Braun Breaker, because Paul Heyman is working with Braun Breaker every week at television.
Oh yeah.
So that's a given. So you're seeing that behind the scenes it's working, but on screen I think where they're at now, where Braun's going and how they're pushing him, the Heyman character kind of doesn't fit. Think there would be a disconnect. It would, to me, and I could be completely wrong, it's like when Heyman had Cesaro. It doesn't mesh in terms of...
That wanted to work.
It did.
They just couldn't it make just, it.
It just like, never clicked.
I think, and I'm trying to remember that, because it's like, I think if they had written Cesaro just a little bit differently, it would have worked. I think that was a writing thing. I don't think that was a...
But it just didn't clash the way it clashed more than it connected. So I don't think Braun is like, from the character standpoint, I don't think on television those two guys mesh, because you could see the steps Braun Breaker is making on his own, where he's becoming his own hype man and it's delivering. He doesn't need the guy pulling someone from NXT and developmental that you could build up and you can start from scratch. That would work better than trying to pigeon him into someone else's already established character.
I mean, that's fair. I respect that. Jay might be a good one for him too.
Jay doesn't need it. I don't know. Anyway, back to the Paul Heyman love match.
Yes, back for the battle for Paul's love.
Who you got?
I think it's going to be Punk. I foresee Punk and Seth potentially continuing after WrestleMania. And so I can see Punk pinning Seth to win the match. And they do the make good feel good moment, because if this closes, you have CM Punk victorious closing WrestleMania. Yay! Everybody's happy. Woo! the honor has been restored moment for Punk.
All right, you're going Punk. I'm going CM Punk as well. 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns win? Don't count on it. So we'll come back to them in a second, but we'll...
Wrestler 3.
Hey, Wrestler 3, Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins win. 8-Ball, Seth Rollins? It is certain. So the inanimate objects go with Seth Rollins. All right, I'm going to throw Rey Mysterio and El Grande Americano at us next.
I will just say this about this entire thing. The way they've sold El Grande Americano, especially as a heel, in terms of making everybody hate him, they have hit all the right buttons to do that. And I think what I enjoy about the character is that WWE is making zero effort to hide the fact that El Grande Americano is Chad Gable. The only person in the entire world that believes this is working and this master secret identity that Chad has, that it's over and nobody knows it's him, is Chad Gable himself. Like, everybody else is like, knows. We all know. Like, I was seeing, like, people are like matching up tattoos and everything else. They're like, we got him. We got him, boys. We got him. Like, you know, kind of thing. Like, I appreciate how they've done that with this character. So it is my very sincere hope that for this match that they do the unmasking, because I don't, as good as it's been, as well as they've executed this, this doesn't have legs, right? Like, we all agree with that. It y'all said it on Sunday. I'll say it here. This doesn't have legs in terms of a character.
I can throw it in this way. You can extend this one more time to get Chad Gable and, or El Grande Americano versus Rey Mysterio having one more match in 3 weeks, hypothetically, at Backlash.
You can, but you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. The unmasking should happen. But I have a spot for the match that I need to throw out there. So WWE put out the documentary on WrestleMania 9. For those unfamiliar, it's the first time we were in Vegas, the first time they had a unique set and all those things. And then this whole documentary, it's really good. It's on Peacock. Go watch it. So if we all remember WrestleMania 9, there was a spot in the Doink the Clown match that happened.
Oh, God.
Where another Doink the Clown showed up in said match. And they did the mime trick together where it's like, am I the, which one am I? Doink number two showed up. So it was two doinks. It's like, what if you have two El Grande Americanos show up? And they do the mime thing, and they do like, you know, how mimes work. And it would be like one of those things where, is it really? And then you pull off the premise would be Chad Gable would disappear. You pull the mask off and it's not Chad Gable, and people go like, oh my goodness, it really wasn't. And then you learn that it was a fake doink, and or the fake Chad, El Grande Americano, and Chad Gable still the real El Grande Americano. But that's how you would extend it, by you revealing the imposter.
I have the perfect scenario. Twin magic, baby. Twin magic. You have the real El Grande Americano wrestle the entire match. He gets out of the ring. He disappears under the ring. Ray's got to get him. You pull out the second one. You do the unmasking. And, oh my God, it's not Chad Gable. What? And it's like, it's very obvious that it's not the real guy, but they unmask him and everybody's like, oh my God,
it's Julius Creed. This entire time.
I had no idea. Holy crap. But like, you do that. Like, that is a way to extend this. I don't want that. I'm just saying, that is how you do that.
But I saw the whole Doink thing and went, I think it revisited because it's a throwback to the WrestleMania 9's promotion for Peacock, all the things, and it's a funny gimmick. Rey Mysterio wins.
Rey should 100% win this match, and Gable should be unmasked. But yeah, this Rey should win. End of discussion. Rey should win. Just 8-Ball, do it.
8-Ball Rey. Better not tell me. So we'll go back to the 8-Ball in a second. Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Right, I think that is 8-Ball El Grande. Very doubtful. So Rey Mysterio will, in fact, come out on top. Let's talk about the United States title. Yeah. LA Knight, Jacob Fatu.
Jacob Fatu has made himself into his own man. He is, I guess the bloodline's still technically going, but not really going anymore. It's kind of gone in this weird direction. But Jacob has proven himself to be a star in his own right. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing him get the title, if nothing else, just to see LA Knight chase. Because I feel like LA Knight is a little bit better to chase. Plus, he's had the title for...
Well, he just got it back. No, he just got it back from Shinsuke.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, he could lose it again. I mean,
he could. No, but I mean, he just hasn't had it. Shinsuke had it for 3 months. Here's the thing with this match. One, it's incredible that in 9-10 months, we've seen this rise of Jacob Fatu. He wasn't in the company a year ago, and now he's on WrestleMania, challenging for a championship.
My guy understood the assignment.
He's doing pretty well for him. Jacob Fatu, the character, should, like, he should win this. He should be the Samoan werewolf, the monster, whatever, and just sort of get the championship and kind of, so you talked about the Bloodline's kind of at the moment, kind of floundering, because without, because one of them's hurt, so they're kind of down a man, so it's, they're kind of floating, and there's like this tension between Jacob and Solo, and Jacob getting the United States title and kind of bringing it back to the Bloodline would kind of reestablish them and kind of put them, you know, back on top, so to speak, a little bit. But Solo's jealousy could play a factor in this, where he's been, the premise is Solo's trying to get Jacob and put him in this position, but he's made mistakes and it kind of somewhat cost Jacob somewhat, but Jacob finally got his chance and now he's getting the title shot. There's a chance Solo could screw Jacob
totally
and kind of set a new, you can then spin the Bloodline feud to it's Jacob versus Solo, and Jacob recruits his own men and sort of build out a Bloodline there, because there's other Bloodline members, and you can start building it that way and telling that story if you want it. Or you can build to Jacob versus Solo for the US title, and kind of Solo's jealousy at some point kind of comes into play and he's like, you know, I'm tired of it, and he just puts out his hit for Jacob Fatu, and they start battling. But because Jacob is on this rise of, he's a heel, being portrayed as a heel. Yeah, you could bring Zilla and Hikaleo into it that way. Yeah, you could do it that way if everyone's healthy on the other side. Jacob's a heel, but the crowd is getting behind him. So it's, you have a chance here to like let him just sort of naturally become the babyface, and you let the cheers just be who he is. Just not change him into a baby face role. Just let him become just let him get cheered and not be the typical baby face, if that makes sense. You have that potential there. LA Knight's here to defend the title, and I don't know. I feel like he hasn't had anything to really sink his teeth into in a while, and he's kind of just floating around this title. Yeah, he's a guy right now. And that was bound to happen because and he's still popular with but the character's kind of, you know, he's the babyface who can wrestle every week on television in your main events, which he's been doing. So he's like the good, consistent guy. But he's not the top guy. And so, like, he's kind of status quo at the moment. I don't know. LA just got the belt back after chasing Shinsuke for 3 months. It'd be weird to take it off of him, but I think in this instance, I'm going with Jacob to take the belt.
I think you have an opportunity, not to say that you don't with Knight, but I think you have an opportunity with Fatu. I think there's more stories there with him right now. And so to me, even though LA Knight just got the title back, it makes sense to put it on Jacob just because it's, you can do more with it, you know?
And I think, I think LA Knight's a guy you can move to Raw when there's a draft in the next couple months.
Yeah, because, I mean, if all you're going to do is put make him the eternal U.S. title holder, kind of what you did to Miz in the IC title, then you can do that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have an opportunity with Jacob. You could tell more stories with him, like I said. So I would move it over to him. So I'm going to say Jacob.
Jacob for you, 8-Ball Jacob. It is certain. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Congrats, LA Knight. Because we all went Jacob. Congrats.
Actually, wouldn't Wrestler 2 be Jacob?
That's what I'm saying. We all went Jacob. So congrats, okay. LA Knight, because we're all picking against him. Congrats. World Tag Titles Online. War Raiders. New Day. Surprise, there isn't a stip. I think this will be good. I think... So, okay, there's a lot of internet chatter. about the build to WrestleMania. Everyone's kind of not happy, and people get, oh, this isn't a great build, all this, they're not doing a great job, all this stuff. Let's talk about what we've seen on this build to WrestleMania. Let's talk about the last 6 months of WWE television.
Okay.
Because it explains a lot about this show. We've seen three of the most beloved acts in WWE go heel.
Yep.
The New Day went heel in November. I think it may have even been December, kind of in that period. Naomi has gone to the dark side, and John Cena. So your road to WrestleMania features three people, three acts that have not been heels in a long time. And it shocked everyone. And it's like, people just, New Day's heel. But you think about it, they spent 3 months building to that point, and they met the heels, and now New Day has transformed and become heels on this road to WrestleMania. Naomi turned heel coming out of the Elimination Chamber, and now she's exploring that. That was a twist. There's someone else on the show, Penta. Guess what? We no one expected Penta to be on WrestleMania. Guess what? He's on WrestleMania this year.
Good for him.
Like, people complain about this road to WrestleMania, and then because they're like, oh, it's just a ho-hum. But if you take things piece by piece and you look at this entire build to WrestleMania, there have been twists and turns along the way. Some predictable, some not. But a lot of it has, like, people don't give them enough credit for the job they've done creatively. Because, oh, where's Dwayne? Where, like, Dwayne wasn't in this build, except for he was on this build for 3 weeks. And rumor has it Dwayne's coming to WrestleMania. I know, that is a big headline. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's coming to WrestleMania like there was any doubt.
I mean, he's on the board.
He's on the board. He's going to be at the show. They did this whole thing to make sure he's there. And we'll talk about Dwayne later. But, like, you look at this whole build to the show, it's like New Day was babyface a year ago. Naomi was babyface. And John Cena was babyface a year ago. And now they're all heels heading into this show. And, like, I look at it and go, like, everything that's on this show is very logical. They spent time with El Grande America, Kano, and Chad Gable building to that moment. And he's on this show. They spent a long time building it. It sucks that Kevin Owens is hurt, because that was building to that too. Like, there were small things that they've been building to, and everything was building up to they've been building Jacob's solo tension for a while. Like, everything logical fits on this show. And people have been just complaining, oh, it's a terrible build, they need better creative. You want just thrown together matches that just have no story? Like, come on, everything on this show has some sort of logical story that they've tried.
I will say this. In general, about the build, it's been good. I think the one thing that has been a little difficult with it, because I don't want to say that they're doing the best job ever, is just that it's felt long. And I think the reason why is because Mania is so late this year.
Yeah.
Like, normally it would have already happened, because it's like we're so used to the time frame of you have from Rumble to Chamber, and then Chamber to Mania. And that's usually about an even time frame between the two, that they have that set standard amount of time to get everything done, right? And in this particular instance, they had longer. So they've done a much more subtle, steady, slow sort of build. And I think people aren't necessarily used to that, or like into that, or interested in that, because there's been a lot of subtlety in this that's been really nice to watch and really gratifying to watch, because they've been able to take their time and flesh out a lot of these stories and a lot of these feuds and a lot of the general what makes this show a show type things. Yeah. So I can see the criticism in that, because it's like, if you're not into that kind of build, which you and I are both into that kind of thing, you're not going to like it, right?
People like, aren't getting their instant gratification.
Yeah, it's I want everything now, as opposed to they're telling a story. And you're sitting here watching them telling a story, and in some instances you can guess where they're going to go next, and in others you can't. And there have been a lot of turns that people haven't expected, which has been really good. And it's just been much more like psychological from that standpoint, as opposed to just them throwing together and just these really big moments. It's like we talked about it on Monday. They didn't do the big go home show where they set everything off and they light the dynamite, so to speak. They did all that last week.
Yeah. Also, one other point in it. Jey Uso, unpredictable, winning the Royal Rumble. Just throwing it out there.
Nobody saw that one.
No one saw that one coming. But yeah, it's no instant gratification, long-term stories, and people kind of... WrestleMania is later this year, and we'll see if it changes next year. I think it's a week earlier, so...
I would like it to be earlier, just because to me this feels really late. Like, I think that's the only thing I haven't enjoyed is I'm ready to see the show. I'm excited to see the show, but it's for the love of God, just put on the show. Like, because they waited this long for WrestleMania, it felt like it should have been last week.
Yeah, they should have been 2 weeks ago for them in theory, but they moved away from the Final Four, and that's kind of been their goal. Anyway, New Day's winning the tag titles.
Yeah. I love the War Raiders. I know they've had them for, you know, a minute, but like, I think that would just be the perfect capstone on the Bad Day turn and feud and everything. Is you just give it to Kofi and Xavier and let them run with it as heels.
That you have to, heel turn won't matter if they don't get the belts. They gotta get the belts to make it mean something that they can validate themselves for turning on Big E, and it was all worth it. So yeah.
Yep.
I'm going New Day. You're going New Day. A-Paw, New Day. It is the Siley, so wheel.
Wrestler 2.
New Day. Yes, it is. Jade and Naomi.
This is going to be interesting.
Naomi has done a fantastic job evolving herself into the heel character. Because it takes a lot, because she's the glow and she was the hype and all the dancing and stuff. She's kind of... I'm curious to see what kind of music she has. Like, she came out for one match and was doing her entrance, but then got jumped. She really didn't get the full one because I think they were waiting for us, man. She's doing this whole caution thing. Like, she's got different gear and stuff. I like that she's kind of taken it upon herself to kind of transform it and change who she was. And it's paying off. Jade played the role fantastic. She's just beating ass week after week when she gets her hands on Naomi. I was surprised that Jade lost a few weeks ago on television. I was kind of interesting. But here we are. I think that was kind of just set the stone... the tone that she's kind of beatable. They talked about Sunday. If Jade wins, there's no legs to the story. And that's very valid. But the story also involves Bianca. And we'll eventually see Bianca. I don't think Bianca gets the belt. Oh, maybe she gets the belt. And you can bring the story to Raw. Either way. I think Bianca's inclusion comes at some point to further tell the story of everything. The jealousy and stuff like that. I think it builds to a Naomi-Bianca match at some point. As much as I would like to see Naomi get the win here, it is a WrestleMania match. I think you can get more, you can continue the story even if you're kind of cutting the legs out of it with a Jade win. Because I think long term, Jade is the card you keep stronger. Heels are meant to lose. Baby faces are meant to be built up. And I think with how they're trying to build Jade, I think Jade should get the win here and you figure it out from there. That's where my brain's at.
I will say that this change is exactly what Naomi needed to do. I love the glow character, but it was stagnant. And I think she had taken it about as far as it could go. This is pushing her in a new direction, and it's pushing her character-wise. I love the caution tape stuff. And of course, I immediately thought of, like, Owen Hart when I saw it. And it's like, oh, she's doing an Owen Hart tribute. That's cool. But then, like, the razor blades in her hair and, like, just all the different stuff she has going on to portray herself as a heel has been really, really, really cool to watch. I'm curious to see where this goes. I would actually do the opposite. Jade is Jade. Jade will recover because eventually Jade will beat the shit out of Naomi for what she's done, right? You really only have like one shot to get Naomi over as this badass heel, especially with Bianca distracted with the triple threat the next night. She may or may not insert herself into this, and I doubt she will just because she's got her own shit to deal with. And Bianca's going to come down on Naomi's side anyway because it's the two of them against Jade. So I could see you give Naomi maybe not a clean win over Jade, but you give Naomi a strong win over Jade just to get the character over, just to establish her as that heel. Because to me, what was it for? What's the point? Jade goes out, she beats the shit out of Naomi. Okay, now what? She moves on to Bianca. Like, and you just have Naomi as this sort of like background character who's already been beat up. Like, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I could see Naomi getting that win. She gets it in a somewhat nefarious means. So that way you keep Jade somewhat strong, or you just keep her strong. Like, Naomi cheats. And then you move the feud on. And you go to Backlash with it. And you give Jade the win at Backlash.
I could see that as well. But I think I'm looking at it long term in terms of WrestleMania. Just the name build of WrestleMania, and you can build Jade as kind of an undefeated kind of thing at Mania. It's like you're keeping a record there a little bit. I think you can play that part.
Records are made to be broken.
I know, which is why I'm asking the following
question. Streaks are made to die, baby.
Which is why I'm asking the following question if the intern is still listening, because I need some info. Hey, Brent, can you look up Bianca's record at WrestleMania and remind me what it is? Thank you. I'm going Jade. You're going Naomi, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
April, does Naomi win? All signs point to yes. Magical wheel of fun.
Wrestler 1.
Jade.
Okay.
So it's split there.
We're divided.
Speaking of conflict, speaking of tension, Charlotte Flair challenges Tiffany Stratton for the women's championship.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. There's going to be some fashion in this match. I don't know if it's going to be good fashion, but there's going to be some fashion in this match just based on these two.
Mm-hmm.
This feud has been interesting. I kind of agree with everything that was said on Sunday about this, where it's very difficult to get Charlotte over as anything as what she is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think initially when she came back, they tried something and it didn't work because it's very difficult to be sympathetic to Charlotte, which is horrible to say, right? Like, we should feel awful and, you know, like, be absolutely inspired by the fact that girl blew out her goddamn knee. She got a divorce. And she's back, right? And she's healthy and she's here to do the thing again. But it's fucking Charlotte, right? LOL, Charlotte wins. You know, she cashes her ticket every year. She wins the title at Mania every year. Like, we're just conditioned at this point. So it's hard. It's so difficult for them to try to do that. And they just didn't succeed because they tried that. And the fans were like, nah, no, sorry.
The first week she came out, they didn't want to buy the story of... So it's Charlotte Flair is one thing, Ashley is the different part. And Ashley's road to WrestleMania and the recovery she's made from blowing out her knee is a story that needs to just be documented. And I hope on the kickoff shows, the countdown, they kind of tell that story, because that is a baby face story to tell, because ultimately she completely blew out her knee and had all the ligaments and had a big road to come back, and she's still recovering. Like, she's not going to hit peak performance.
I don't think she's 100%.
No, and she shouldn't be, because you can, in the limited matches she's had, they've done a good job of putting her in the ring, and the live event tours helped, because she was wrestling more often. I don't think she'll be where she needs to be for another 6 months. I think it will be telling to see how fast she moves, because there's been times where you can see her dragging the leg, and she's just not fully there yet. So we'll see how that goes. On paper, people wanted to see this match. But the problem with this match is ultimately both characters are cast incorrectly. The fans love Tiffany Stratton, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's not a baby face.
I mean, one could argue anybody against Charlotte is a baby face.
No, but she's against Charlotte. She's in the role of baby face. But Tiffany Stratton, the character, is not a true baby face. And she's being positioned in the babyface role because that's the role she's given, but the character, the Tiffy time, everything like that should be done to annoy you. And the way she talks and like how the rebuttal she's been have been heelish. Her athleticism in the ring gives her a better chance to be a babyface, but when she talks, she's a heel. Her voice, her mannerisms, they're heel mannerisms. So she's not, so it's awkward. People will get behind her because she's Tiffany and stuff. But like the roles are miscast, because in a perfect world, Tiffany should be the heel, bragging that she's the champion, while Charlotte should tell the story of, I'm coming back from my knee injury and all these things and the road to this. But they're not, so we're getting the complete opposite. There's a lot of tension. We've seen the promo a couple weeks ago on SmackDown where there was a lot of tension between the two and a lot of things, you know, taking personal shots and whatnot. And Charlotte just completely, everyone said they went off script, and they did. But Charlotte gave up on the promo. There was a point she just said, fuck it, I'm done, I'm not saying a word. She gave up. And then that's everywhere everything spiraled. What they did before they got back to the States was good.
there's a lot of confrontation and a lot of fighting. But Charlotte, like, the reputation is Charlotte's trying to test her with the promo stuff and trying to, like, see how she reacts and all these different things. But it's, the match is miscast, but it should be a really good match. I think Tiffany should go over because Charlotte doesn't need the belt. And I think, ultimately, that's how it should go. So my pick is Tiffany over Charlotte.
I think I will agree it has been somewhat miscast. The promo between the two was unfortunate. And I hate that Charlotte gave up on it. Because it's, no, that's really not what you should do. But okay, that's what you're gonna do. They have a star in Tiffany. They have the future in Tiffany. It's there. You can see it very, very clearly that Tiffany is that next step. She's over. She's marketable. She could go to that next level. I see no good of putting the title on Charlotte. Absolutely none whatsoever. I see no good coming out of Tiffany losing because all it does, no matter how they do it, hurts Tiffany. You have the chance with this to have Tiffany put a really decisive moment in her career. The first of what I'm sure will be many more to come. But you have the chance for her to put that stamp down by getting a definitive, clean win over Charlotte. And it's the queen is dead, long live whatever you want to title her. You know, the princess or the queen or Tiffany or, you know, Tiffy time or whatever. But it's you, because the thing with Charlotte is we don't know how much longer she's going to be around. She's kind of another one that it's like, well, she might be around longer. She might not be. She's sort of eyeing things outside of WWE as well. She's beginning that process of moving on. And so I think as she begins to transition out of the company, potentially, you have her give this win to Tiffany. You have her do this for Tiffany. Put her over as that future. Because Charlotte can always get the win back, right? Like, it's Charlotte Flair. She's good. She's already a first ballot Hall of Famer. She doesn't have to worry about it. So here, a loss won't do anything for her. But I think it's nothing but a benefit to Tiffany if she wins. In terms of what the match will be, I expect it to be physical. I expect it to be very good because these two should blend very well together. I hope Charlotte shows up to work. That would be very cool of her to do, not to say that she wouldn't, but if she's not feeling it, I don't think it will be as good as if she is. But I'm going with Tiffany on this. Like, I feel like Tiffany should win. I feel like Tiffany has to win.
I'm going Tiffany as well. 8-ball Tiffany. It is decidedly so. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Charlotte. So there's that.
Okay, interesting.
So next match. So this is a very simple match to talk about. Chat Yeet. It's Gunther versus Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight title. This is going to be a very simple breakdown of this match. They told the story better last year.
Yeah.
Sammy was the better underdog last year to dethrone Gunther. It was a better story then. Not to say this is what they're trying to do with Jay.
Let the good times roll.
Jabariza Babe just subscribed for 40 months. How do bunnies kiss? With tulips.
Thanks for 40 months. Appreciate it. The Sammy is the better underdog.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling the right story. The unpredictability. The Jay is like the crowd's behind him, and he's the Royal Rumble winner, and it would be a big moment for him to win it. And I get that, and he should win it. And Heyman mentioned it would be like the most fan service, like it would be a big fan moment for Jay to win, and that's great. But Jay as your world's champion will be a short term thing. Yeet is over. I don't think Jay has the long-term standing as the guy to be your world champion. And I don't think he should be. I think he should get a three-month run with the belt, take him to SummerSlam, and make a new champion. Because we've talked about it, baby faces are better chasing. And I think Jay chasing and being a former world champion will do better for him long-term. But I still say Yeet as your next world's champion.
It's kind of the same argument with Jay as what it is for Tiffany. You've done all this work for Jay, with Jay on Jay. You've broken him out of the tag team completely. You've established him as a single star. You've had multiple opportunities to put the title on him. They've waited till this moment to do it. I want to see them do it just because it is a chance for them to solidify Jay as a top person in their company and make a brand new star with this by having Jay overcome adversity, beat Gunther, and either send the crowd home happy or open the show happy. And you just have that momentous, tremendous moment for Jay where it says all of the bullshit that he went through, all of the crap with the bloodline, going out on his own, all the struggles, all the strife, all the crap, it was worth it. Because it led to this moment. He persevered, he endured, and he made it here. It's a great story to tell. It's a wonderful story. Beautiful. Love it. I need to see what they do with him to determine if he's a long-term champion or not. I don't necessarily think he will be. I agree with Rock. You know, the moment is in the win. That's the important part of this, is the win. It's not so much the reign, it's the win. It's kind of like for Cody. The whole thing was in the win. It's the same exact thing for Jay. I want to see him win.
I would more compare it to Kofi winning than a Cody.
I mean, that's fair too. But it's the same kind of like, people only care about the win. They don't necessarily care about the reign after. It's finishing the stories, reaching that height. It's doing all the things, right? The boyhood dream has come true. It's that moment that they're chasing right now. And I want them to give it to us. I want Jay to win. I'm picking Jay to win. I think Gunther has been a wonderful champion, and I'm sure he'll come back in however long Jay has the title and probably beat Jay's ass and take it back, you know? But he may not. We'll have to see, but they have a chance to do something with Jay. I think they should do it. So my pick is Jey Uso.
Going yeet, Jey Uso. 8-ball, yeet. Most likely yeet. Magical wheel o fun.
Wrestler 2.
Yeet.
There you go.
So there you go. Now we go to night 2.
Actually, I need a break. Does anybody else need a break?
Go take a quick break. So it's like 2-minute potty break.
Yes. Potty break, everybody. Potty break. Go get your snacks. Go get some water. We'll be right back. You listen to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll see you in 2 minutes.
It's on me now.
Chat, just yeet.
I'm going to get them all.
Just yeet.
Is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Burn it down! This is my brutality! In your dreams, I eat, sleep, bleed. Look in my eyes, look in your eyes, lies, lies. Look in my eyes, it's you or die.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it.
If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, WrestleMania Night 2. So we have 6, potentially 7 matches. Yes, bladder is definitely bladder. Yes. Yeah, we have. Yes, thank you all so much.
Wikipedia says 7. Wikipedia says 7 now. So we have 7 matches technically to talk about. By the way, chat, reminder, use credit card Rocket Soccer Lindsay Warden for an item shop tomorrow when Cody Rhodes and The Undertaker appear.
Yeah. So, yes, Wiki has officially 7, but I think it's officially 6. We'll talk about it.
No, I saw what the... Well, let's talk about it now. They did a video with Randy at WWE World. Basically, he says, I got my gear. I'm going to be in the ring, and I'm going to call someone out. So that's the idea. He was supposed to fight Kevin Owens. Kevin got hurt and is out. Randy's ready to go. It's his 20th WrestleMania. He's going to RKO somebody. So it's Randy Orton versus TBA, which could be anywhere from Carmelo Hayes to Rusev or Aleister Black.
I was gonna say, is there anybody set to debut?
Rusev's ready. Big E kind of put it out there at WWE World today that, you know, they could someone get. I think there was a Rusev card or something that had it was up for was like someone gave for auction or wasn't signed or something. I don't know. And they kind of like, hey, he's coming back. So he kind of let that one out.
Oops.
Could be Solo because they kind of slowly built that on SmackDown this past week. Could be Solo answering the challenge. If you're bringing Rusev or Malachi or Aleister back, they would have to beat Randy. So I don't think you bring them back here unless they go over. I also could see whoever it is, say it's Randy versus Carmel Hayes in a 5-minute match, right? Or Andrade, whoever it is. And Randy gets that quick little win. Then you could bring back an Aleister or Rusev or whatnot. But I don't think you use it here because there's other plans for Randy. We'll talk about that later. So I'll save that a little bit for that then. I'm saying Randy over TBA.
I'm going to second that. It's just a nice little moment for Randy.
It pretty much is his 20th WrestleMania. Let him RKO somebody. 8-ball Randy? Yes. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
Not Randy.
Okay.
All right. Just get another one out of the way because this one had a very. This one's been a very basic build. It's AJ Styles and Logan Paul. Going to be good. They're going to do. They're going to have a highlight moment. I think their styles will mesh really well. But ultimately, I think Logan goes over.
Has Logan lost yet?
Yes.
Okay.
He's lost. He's lost to Roman. He's lost in the chamber. He's lost. Lost to somebody else too, off the top of my head. But
I just couldn't remember. I thought I had.
Yeah, he's lost a few times, but as a heel, he's able to just sort of get it back. But I think AJ should win. But I think whatever they're planning for Logan, he needs to win more than AJ needs to win here. And I think with what Karrion's been doing, kind of getting under. But then again, Logan stood tall the last couple times on television. AJ would need to get his heat back. Maybe AJ does win. You know what? AJ wins. Screw it. AJ wins. No, because I looked back at the booking. It's the last two confrontations, Logan's got the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think AJ, in that manner, needs to get it. Yeah, Logan was the champion. Logan was a champion. He lost them too. Yeah. I think in my heart of hearts, I think it's Logan because I think there's more potential there in terms of what they want to do. But I think based on the story arc, AJ should, it points to AJ. So yeah, I go AJ. Ultimately AJ. Yeah.
I'm going to go with AJ just because AJ, like, I don't like Logan Paul. I don't want him to win. I want AJ to win, so let's go with AJ.
8-ball AJ? Yes. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
AJ Styles. Alright, another simpler match. talk about because I want to save the last couple for with the meat and potatoes to the end. The women's tag team titles are online. Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley and Lara. I smell a Bayley heel turn coming. And I think it happens when they lose at WrestleMania.
It could.
I think Bayley, while she's doing good as the babyface, I think her character needs to go back to heel. I think she needs to add a little spice to it. I think her feuding with Lyra will help build it. It feels like, I don't know if they're going to do it, but because I don't see a title change here. I don't think you put two belts on Lyra. I think ultimately Liv and Raquel should win and leads to Bayley's frustrations. Either the heel turn comes at WrestleMania or Raw after me. Like, you know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm.
It's coming. I sense it's coming, but my sense could be completely off on it, but the story is kind of dictating Bayley frustration leads to heel turn. It's not about fans, it's just inner frustration. She sort of like does it to kind of get her edge back because she's missing it. And yeah, that's kind of, I think roster balance wise, I think they need another stronger heel on that side. So I'm going Liv and Raquel retain.
I don't think you take the titles off of Liv and Raquel here. I think it's fine. They're doing good work. So I would say leave it on them and you build Bayley and Lyra as a feud for the IC title.
I think there's more legs there.
Yeah.
There's
a lot more there.
8-ball. We'll just do the opposite. 8-ball, Bayley and Lyra. No. Wheel.
No. Ooh.
Wrestler 1.
That's she said no, y'all.
April said no. Liv and Raquel retain, according to the wheel. All right. We're going to make this simple. Very easy. Braun Breaker versus Penta versus Finn Bella versus Dominic Mysterio. Here's why Dominic Mysterio should be your next Intercontinental Champion. Because it plays off what we just talked about. So, there's all this tension in the Judgment Day, right? It's been building for months, right? And there's a lot of talk people with gold and, you know, and everything like that. There's like there's a power structure, and ultimately, gold provides power. And ultimately, that would cause frustration for Finn if Dominic Mysterio were to have the Intercontinental Championship. Liv and Raquel have the tag titles. They hold ultimate power in the Judgment Day, thus causing frustrations for Finn, leading to Finn Balor versus Dominic for the Intercontinental Championship, and ultimately Finn Balor leaving the Judgment Day. It sets up the power structure perfectly, which is why Dominic should be the champion. Go ahead.
You're already kind of seeing that happen,
right? And you're seeing the everything's building to that. But I think that them holding gold over Finn's head, because he's been very sarcastic in those backstage promos and everything like that. But he would be the one who didn't get the job done, rather, but Dominic does. Especially if Dominic gets the win based off of something Finn does. Or even pins Finn, or even Finn gets pinned by Dom because of a Braun Breaker spear or something. And Dom sneaks the win in.
I can see Dom pulling the old lie, cheat, steal. And he just slides on in there and he just takes that title right out from under Finn. I can just see him doing that. Like, he's like, you know what? He kind of goes into business, quote unquote, for himself. And he's like, I want that title too. Because we see it in the Judgment Day. We see the power system where Finn doesn't have control. Like you said, it's Liv, it's Raquel. And by sort of like adjunct, it's Dominic, because Dominic and Liv and Raquel are a unit. And then with them comes Carlito. And we've seen them trying to recruit Penta, and Finn has been very adamantly against the recruitment of Penta. He doesn't want another member in the group. He was personally offended when Dominic suggested Penta because, well, Finn and Penta are feuding for the title. So, like, you have all this, like, power struggle, and you have Dominic making moves again. Like, he's, ever since the Rhea stuff ended, he's sort of just been Liv's lapdog. He's been playing that part really well. Now we're having Dom begin to assert himself again and sort of inject himself back into a feud, back into a title picture where he's sort of the main attraction. And I can completely get behind Dom taking that title up from under Finn and just swiping it from him. But I also want Penta to win.
And that's fine. So you're going to go Penta.
Yeah, I'll go Penta.
I'm going to go for the lulz, Dominic Mysterio wins. Because I also see Bron Breakker going after Yeet. Because that should be the guy holding the big boy belt, ultimately.
Ultimately, yes.
Because as we've talked about, Paul Heyman influence and everything. Anyway, 8-Ball Penta? Yes, definitely. Wheel, I threw Wrestler 4 on here. So it could be get weird.
Ew. Wrestler 1.
Put a Wrestler 1. Removing Wrestler 4 off the wheel now. So that's Bron Breakker winning. Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, Sin City Street Fight. We've seen this match twice in the last year. It's a good match. They're adding the street fight element, so it's like you're going to have weapons and everything. It'll be good. It's going to be a good match. It won't be a show stealer, but it'll be a good match. I think it's a match where Drew reestablished himself as a top tier contender. And I think ultimately he needs a win in his favor. And I think with Damian getting those two wins by nefarious means over Drew in the last year, I think Drew needs to get his, ultimately. Unfortunate Drew got real glass in his eye. That kind of
sucks.
He's fine. He can see now. He's good. But that was... Yeah, it's a good way to put it, man. It's a rebuilding match for Drew. It's a good way to put it. Rebuilding. So I'm going Drew over Damian.
I need Brent, if he's within the sound of my voice, to understand that my ovaries will not survive Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest fighting on a pirate ship. But just, no. I want it. I want it, but I want it to be over me. I don't want it to be over just some petty shit. Like, goddamn it, if that's going to happen. Anyway, I think you need to rebuild Drew a little bit like he was doing. Like, we had the villain arc of Drew McIntyre. It was really good. And then they kind of backed off of it a little bit. They cooled him down. And I think you need to bring him back up. I think you need to have that stronger heel presence with him again. I think Damien will be a great way to do that. Sucks about the glass, like you said. But I also think maybe they need to rebuild Damien a little bit too. And I think they can do that with this because both men will be come out looking very strong. I fully expect Damien to go titties out at some point. Hopefully Drew wears pants and honors the tradition. But I think I'm going to go with Drew on this. But I do want to see them go like all over the building. I think that would be fun. All
right, I'm going Drew. You're going Drew. 8-Ball Damien? Most likely. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
That'd be one Drew McIntyre. Alright.
Wait. They don't do the... Treasure Island doesn't do the ship anymore? They don't do the ship? They don't sink the ship anymore? They got rid of the ship? That was like the best thing on the strip. It was so cool when you had the two ships and you had like the one that sailed in and then it sunk. See, when I went, it was like... See, before it was like the pirates versus the British. And then when I saw it, it was the pirates versus like stripper sirens. But it's so cool. Man, that sucks. Boo-erns. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
The meat and potatoes of this show features the final two championship matches. We're going to start with the Women's World Championship. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. Everything I thought about... The whole premise of the match was Io beat Rhea the night after Chamber, which we've talked about on the post stuff. And since then, Rhea's been trying to fight her way back into the title match because it was Io, Bianca. Bianca kind of technically screwed Rhea out of her title. Io won the title. Rhea got a rematch. Bianca was the referee. There was no winner. Rhea signed her name on a contract. still didn't matter. They ultimately put her in the match, and then both Rhea and Bianca have said Io is basically the afterthought. They keep shoving her out of the way, like she doesn't matter, and she's ultimately the champion. But she's the champion, so she should be respected, and she's been fighting her for her respect. And ultimately, you tell that story, the champion, Io, should win, proving that she was not the afterthought at all. Then I did some research, because Brenton wasn't helpful, but I did my own research. Thank you, Google. Talking about streaks, Bianca Belair is 4-0 at WrestleMania. I think, ultimately, based on facts and figures, Bianca should win to keep the streak alive.
That's so predictable, though.
I know. I was going Rhea to win, but I did the research and I saw the numbers, and I think at some point you can play off that streak. And yeah, ultimately I think Bianca gets the title because Bianca gets the title. I don't feel great about it. I also don't feel great about Io retain. If like I went Io retain, I wouldn't feel good about that one either. I don't feel good about the outcome of this match. Because we saw an Io title reign, we've seen a Rhea title reign, we've seen a Bianca title reign. I don't feel ultimately great about the what you do going forward, unless you truly move Bianca and Naomi into a feud for a championship. You move her over and such. I don't feel great about it. Streaks have to die, but you do that one-on-one. Like, that's kind of the thing. Like, that's ultimately... I wouldn't want to see her streak end in a triple threat. I think... And they've ultimately kept that as a backstory, her record. So, ultimately, it may not mean anything. But I don't know. I think there's something there long-term. I think ahead, a lot of long-term with some of these. That's kind of my thoughts. I'm rambling. Go ahead.
To me, this one's been the most convoluted. Like, it's been good, but it's been the most convoluted to get to the triple threat, especially with Rhea. Like, this Rhea trying to insert herself into this situation has been very good. Like, it's all been fine. To me, I don't think Rhea necessarily needs the title. Like, she would do fine with it if they put it back on her. But I think it does more damage to Io if she manages to take it off of Rhea and then Rhea gets it right back, right? In terms of Bianca, I feel like at some point she's going to go back into that feud with Jade. She has to, right? Because that matter is not resolved. Whether a title is involved in that, I don't know. And I don't know if it should be, because to me, it still feels a little early to put a singles title on Jade. At least the main singles title. If you wanted to do like US or IC, I can get behind that. But to put the main women's title on Jade, I don't know about that one yet. Especially with her just coming back off of injury not that long ago.
But I think you have
time. And I know it's been like January, but still.
You have time for Bianca and Jade, because the ultimate story is Bianca, Naomi first before you even interject Jade back into that part of it.
And either one of them could play a factor in this match. That's entirely plausible. I don't know if they will, but it's entirely plausible. I think for me personally, just from a storytelling standpoint, because she has been the afterthought, that you have Jade again, or not Jade, excuse me, Io, overcome adversity, overcome Rhea and Bianca, and manages to retain her title. Just to solidify that reign, solidify her as a champion, because like she was on that big run, she was doing amazing work, and she kind of got fucked a little bit. So I would like to see her go on that run, and like a really definitive win here would do that for her and establish her as a dominant champion. Now, she could hold the title for 3 months and drop it at SummerSlam. That's totally fine. But I feel like it does more damage to Io. It's kind of almost like the Bray scenario where they gave Bray the title at Chamber and then he dropped it at Mania. It kind of feels like that for me, where it's like you gave Io the title. She's done well with it. But you're having her essentially be like a paper champion up until like either Bianca or Rhea takes it from her. And that doesn't feel good. So I personally would like to see Io get her due and get that big win at WrestleMania and overcome all the odds. I'm going Io.
So I'm going to Bianca. The final point of it is why this is a triple threat match. It goes to show how building up, having good matches and having the crowd reaction and crowd getting behind you really influences how WWE books, because ultimately this was Bianca versus Rhea. But because Io was having tremendous matches on television and the crowd was very receptive, WWE had no choice but not to put her in a primetime match at WrestleMania, and they fit her into this story. That's why it came off a little convoluted, because ultimately Bianca Rhea was the match. But when your star power rises, you have to deliver on hard work, and Io's hard work to get the crowd invested paid off and got her an opportunity at WrestleMania, which is really good. So I'm going with Bianca Belair. You're going Io Sky. 8-ball Rhea Ripley. Outlook not so good. So we got to come back to that one. We go with the wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. So that means Io retains. 8-ball Io. Yes, definitely. And now we get to it. Now we get to it. It's your main event for the Undisputed WWE Championship. It is Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. Now, let's talk about it. So, what this whole story gets behind is we've seen John Cena, the ultimate good guy, has now the bad guy. The heel turn no one thought was coming finally came. And he's giving it all back. He said this is a toxic relationship with the fans. And he's blaming everyone. And he wants to walk out as WWE champion and be the last real champion and going to take it home with him in 8 months. So you have 8 months to take the belt from him, because in 8 months, he's leaving. At Elimination Chamber, Cody Rhodes had the opportunity. Cody Rhodes from Fortnite tomorrow. Hashtag Epic Runner.
You have two guys from Fortnite fighting each other.
It's two guys from Fortnite fighting each other. Buy the skins. Hashtag Epic Runner. Cody Rhodes, he got in. you had Travis Scott involved. And you had The Rock involved. You know, the foundation. Also from Fortnite. Also Travis Scott from Fortnite. Everything.
It's just all the Fortnite skins. They're all fighting.
So The Rock wanted Cody to sell his soul. Travis Scott was there and he watched it all happen. Cody said, fuck you, Rock. Then Cena turned heel and they all beat down Cody Rhodes. Now it's Cody Rhodes is trying to get his revenge for the beatdown. He says, he owes one to Travis Scott, who will be at WrestleMania. Now, what Cena's been doing is he's been talking about everything and he kind of throwing it all back, like, you made fun of the spinner championship. You made fun of this. You turned the you can't see me into it. It's not a funny joke, but it is, John. You can't see me as a funny joke. And it's all about the heel turn ultimately becomes him playing into all the stereotypes and the memes and everything that's built. He doesn't bury people. He's very talented. He is talent. Like, they're playing into everything. So ultimately, if that's the way you're doing, you're taking the 20, capitalizing on everything John Cena's built for the last 20 years. You look at it and you go and you think all about it. The ultimate ending should be the ending that everybody hates the most. And that is LOL Cena wins. It's the ultimate story they're telling. John Cena playing into it all to win the 17th championship. And it's just, LOL, Cena wins. Cody should have lost this championship at least once in along this reign. It's great that he's held it for a year. It's great. But Cody needs a chase. You're going to see The Rock, because, you know, reportedly he's going to show up. Yeah, it's The Rock. It's WrestleMania. He kind of started the story, and you're going to have him ultimately there. He will find time to capitalize on it. He can't be at TV and everything, but he gave you 3 weeks, or 2 weeks before for Chamber. So you got some stuff with The Rock. Now, before you give your side of it. So, LOL, John Cena wins, right? and they're playing it all to the memes, right? They play into all the John Cena things. So this is what Brent wanted your reaction for, this next part. So coming up, for John Cena's first title defense, they give the people what everyone hated the most. Live from St. Louis for the WWE Championship, the match everyone hated seeing multiple times. John Cena versus Randy Orton for the 11 billionth time.
Rest hold, chin lock. Yeah. Rest hold, chin lock.
They give it to you because that's what this heel turn is about, and you do it in Randy's hometown. Cena versus Orton one final time.
Okay, I'm just going to say this just because it does intrigue me, and I hate it intrigues me. But a heel John Cena versus a babyface Randy Orton would be fucking wild.
See, it intrigued
you. Tell me
you.
It wouldn't be.
That's why I pitched it to Brent. It's intriguing. And
fucking intriguing. I hate it.
And that was that's exactly he knew the that was going to be the reaction.
I hate it here so much, but I want to see it.
It's Cena Orton for the title because they're giving you everything you hate the most, but really want. Cena Orton one final time. And you don't need a big build. You can do it in 3 weeks. It's simple.
You don't even need like 3 weeks. You just have Orton walk out and look at Cena and slap the shit out of him and say, let's go.
But I'm just saying, because that's all you got is 3 weeks to backlash.
I know, but still, I'm just saying. But like, yeah, no, I can get on board with that. I'm down with that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I mean, and they turn out an absolute banger of a match, too.
Yeah.
But no, I'm down.
But anyway, your thoughts on this match?
The chaos gremlin in me very much wants to see John Cena win, which is something I have not said in probably years. I don't even know how long since it's been since the last time I said it. But I want to see John Cena win just because I want to see what it's going to be, right? When this man walks out and says he's going to ruin professional wrestling, it's like, okay, all right, bet.
Let him do it.
What are you going to do? Do it. Show me what you're going to do. Beyond, because when he said that, I was like, beyond what you've already done?
Being the heel champion will do it, though.
Like, I really want to see what it's going to be and what it's going to do. All due respect to Cody. He's been an amazing champion. The win last year was fantastic, right? He has done a wonderful job, and he will do a wonderful job again when he gets the title back at whatever point that is. But the story, the money, all of it is in the summer of Cena, him fucking off with that title, and them trying to get it back from him. And him pulling the Lesnar and being like, nah, I don't work for free, or nah, I don't feel like doing that. And they have to figure out a way to get it back. They have to figure out a way to communicate with Cena, to draw him in, to get him to take the matches, whatever. Like, to tell that story of now it's John Cena's won the title. He's taking it home.
But he's not.
And now they have 8 months to try and get it back. But no, potentially.
Here's the thing. He's taking it home in 8 months. He believes no one can beat him. Like, I think that's the misconception of it. It's like Cena is not going to be around. The ultimate thing is he is in this.
Oh, he's totally going to be there.
I'm saying he's not taking it's not the summer of him taking it home. He's actually going to be here, because if you listen to words he promised, he's going to do SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, and all these things, and they're the ones coming up. And he is scheduled to be booked for the night after WrestleMania, and he's booked for SmackDowns going forward. So that ultimately kind of dictates.
But there's a difference between him appearing and a difference between him wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And also, there's nothing that says he's going to bring the title with him. Like, that would be, like, the ultimate, slap in the face.
No, because Mox has it in a briefcase. You need your title on television. Mox has it in a briefcase on AEW. We don't need it not there. He,
are we sure it's in the briefcase? Like, has anybody seen it recently?
I don't know. In theory, it's in there. But no, you want the title with him at all times because it's showing that it's his and nobody will take it from him until ultimately somebody does, whether it's Cody, a Bron Breakker, a Roman Reigns, whoever. Cena will make the next person. Cody doesn't need to be the one to beat Cena for the title. I think someone beats Cena for the title before then, and ultimately Cody can get a win back over Cena, non-title, ultimately. Or you can have Cody win it back, whatever you want to do. But I think making somebody would be better, but that's a future story, and my voice is going, so I'm not going to dive deep into that part. Yeah, Cody's had a fantastic year. It's been an amazing run. He's been the quarterback. He did the live events. He's done all the appearances. He's done everything, and he'll continue to do all the appearances sans live events because they're not. This is why the timing works the best. WWE's philosophy is simple. Premium live events. They're the money draws. Your Saturday night's main events, your PLEs, your Raws and your SmackDowns and your NXTs. But it's ultimately Raws, SmackDowns, and PLEs are what drives the money. So talent aren't on the road as much. Their live event era is like the weekly live events on weekends. Is a thing of the past. They do tours in Europe and stuff. And that's where major live events. And then they do their house shows in the Christmas time here in the States. And they'll probably throw one at some point down the road. But there's less of them. So the guy holding the title doesn't have to be at all those events. Cena needs to appear once a week. And currently, he's booked to do that. So this is ultimately a time where WWE's schedule is at the reduced point. Putting John Cena as your champion fits. It dictates it. Say 20 years ago, if they had this schedule, Shawn Michaels would have won a WWE championship more than once on his return back. Because ultimately, he held the world title for a month. If you had this schedule, Shawn could have had another championship run in him.
Oh, yeah.
This is why Cena can get away with one more championship run. Because all he has to do is show up for television and defend it once a month. It's ultimately what he has to do. Which is why, as we've all said, LOL, Cena wins. And if Cena wins, we riot.
I just want to make the request that how Cena wins, I want it to be absolutely ridiculous. Over the top and overbooked and so just like Dwayne gets involved. Like, I almost want Cena to lose and Dwayne walks out and restarts the match. Like, I want it to that level of stupidity because
this match won't end this way. Yeah, this match won't end this way, yada yada yada, and match restarts.
Yeah, like, and they just, I don't think they need to do it multiple times, but like, you have Dwayne put the fix in. That John gets the win no matter what,
Travis Scott will be involved too, to the finish. That's why he's there. He's going to play a part into it.
Don't let him near Cody's ear.
Yeah, but you'll get shenanigans there.
Like, so. I just want this to be so over the top and so overbooked, and like, I want that visual of John Cena center of the ring, like you guys talked about on Sunday, stone faced, holding that title. While the people just boo him out of the building. I want it to be the most satisfying end to WrestleMania ever. I want that so goddamn hard.
And that would mean the night after Mania, the crowd, he'll just stand in the ring and listen to the boos as he holds up the WWE champion as the last real champion. 17. The greatest of all time. LOL. John Cena. It writes itself.
It totally writes itself.
So ultimately, I'm going John Cena is your next undisputed WWE champion.
LOL. Cena wins.
Magic 8-Ball. One final time. LOL. Cena win. Very doubtful. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
That'd be Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
That, finally,
time.
Is WrestleMania.
So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
So chat, you were here tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern. Be here again tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, during SmackDown, as we watch WWE 2K25 simulate WrestleMania. Be here for another hour and a half to 2 hours tomorrow night. So check that out. Then Saturday, when WrestleMania ends, probably 11 p.m. Eastern. In theory. Roughly. We'll be live with the Rack Extra Reviews WrestleMania Night 1. We should have a special intern with us as well. Then, Sunday, it's WrestleMania Day 2, Night 2, however you want to put it, WrestleMania Sunday. Once it ends, WrestleTalk Radio will be live to cover it all around 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, it's the Raw After Mania. We'll have the post-show when that ends. Who knows when? Could be 3 hours, could be 2 hours, could be 2.5 hours, whatever it is. When Raw ends, and night after Raw After Mania, we'll be live to talk all about it. Then next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll review Night 2 WrestleMania Sunday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Then in 2 weeks, we'll bring back the news. So, look forward to that. But we'll talk Night 2 of WrestleMania next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Night 1, we talk about this Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. Call Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. Thanks to Matt, Jersey Girl, Brent for resubbing tonight. Really appreciate you guys. All that fun stuff. You can use creator code RocketSock or Lin's M word in the Fortnite item shop when you buy probably the return, another John Cena return, because they'll probably throw it in and Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. But Cody Rhodes and The Undertaker are in the Fortnite item shop tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and the item shop flips. Use the codes, buy the skins, buy the emotes, use the codes, because we are
Hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me in on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbaLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And thank you everybody for putting up with my voice tonight. I did not intend to get sick this week, but fate has a sense of humor. So here we are. So thank you so much for putting up with my crappy voice. Hopefully it is back and A-okay next week. Everybody pray for me, because I am testing tomorrow, and let's all hope it comes back negative. Anyway, so while you're liking and subscribing and following and telling people their stuff is awesome, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211. Tell him we said hi, subscribe, like his stuff, and, you know, tell him he's awesome, because Matt is awesome. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. We will see you tomorrow. Happy WrestleMania, everybody. It's here. Bye, y'all. Bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Aiming guns in all your photos. That's a no-no. When this pop, your lip lock, your big talks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice age melts. It seems monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I'm rocking timepiece by Benny, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minks. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge itself. So for now, Mark Breck is living life for wealth. Your time is up, my time is now. WildTalkRadio.com.